This is where it gets real. Wisconsin's February schedule is unforgiving, and the next seven games are make or break. No hiding, no coasting. This month decides the season. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Monday evening because of our recent travel to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. We're zeroing in on Wisconsin basketball in a February stretch that feels make or break. We'll break down why the schedule is so brutal, what the Badgers have to prove over the next seven games, and why the margin for error is basically gone. We'll also hit the Ohio State game, spotlight Austin Rapp's performance, and talk about what it could mean as this season reaches its defining point. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, share with your friends. Thank you so much. For those watching on YouTube, despite what it may look like on the screen, the North Face is not a sponsor of the show. Although Justin and I are both wearing North Face stuff, that is happenstance.
Comfortable shirts.
Insane. This is like my, totally. But anyway, so to kick things off, first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who came out this past weekend in Madison for our annual meetup. This is our basketball meetup with the Ohio State game. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks. Saw so many people. Friday night, we went out to a bar on the east side. It was fantastic. Saturday, pre-gaming for the game. Went to the game. The curse is broken. The curse is broken. As our good friend Rob said, who we saw this weekend, the curse is broken. Yes, it is. Ryan, me and Justin went to a game together that we did not lose, and we won. And that's fantastic, man. It was so good to see everyone. So thank you. Special thank you to Honcho and to Nick for helping get everything set up, of course, and all the people that we saw. There's just so many to name. You know who you are. I can't say thank you enough. It was really a lot of fun to just hang out and do that. It's well worth it. I sat on the tarmac in Chicago for 4 hours. My flight was delayed, but it was worth it because as soon as I got there, I got to hang out with good people like the guy to my right, Justin Julka. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Anyone that saw me there this weekend realized how easily overwhelmed I get when we're around a bunch of people. you and Ryan handle a little better. I ended up off to the side with a group of like four or five people every time. It's like,
yeah, just moves to the side. That's okay. Yeah. And that's all right. Whatever you want to do, you know. Zach Bart's good friend of the show and someone who we got to see this weekend. Glad to spend time with the guys this weekend. It was a great time, and I can't wait for football meetup. Even better, they broke the curse and got the win. Finally, we can celebrate a win together. It was good. Justin had to head back to his home, but the rest of me and Ryan went out to Wando's and had more drinks and then continued on into the evening. It was fun. And then I had to get on the plane the next day. So that wasn't fun, but here I am.
Did it at least go better than the trip in?
Yes, it was way better than the trip in. It was totally on time. And getting off the plane into 65 degree temperature was gorgeous because let me tell you, I am not built for that kind of cold anymore. I went to school and was in Madison, and holy shit, man, I was dying. My jeans were like crunchy and frozen around my legs. It was horrible. I don't know how you guys are doing. Ryan's out there in shorts. I mean, Nick and these guys just wear whatever. Nobody cares except for me. I don't know how you guys do it. Those of you who live in Madison and live in Wisconsin, kudos. I can't do it anymore. I don't know how you. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Daltreed says the next curse is a Sweet 16. That's right. We do need to break that curse next. All right, man. So what I wanted to talk about today, if you haven't seen the Wisconsin basketball schedule upcoming, let me just tell you, it's about as ugly as one could ever imagine it. As you know, we've had three consecutive home games. Luckily, we beat one, two of them. It was dicey, and especially in the Minnesota game. But here's what we have coming up. In the month of February, the Badgers have seven games, of which five of them are on the road. Five road games at Indiana, who, by the way, just beat Purdue. Boy, I feel bad for Purdue fans. After seeing the national championship game and then that, holy cow, they must be really hating themselves. Then we're going to Illinois, who, by the way, beat Nebraska and is now the number 5 team in the country. Then we host Michigan State, who, by the way, is the 7th ranked team in the country. Then we go to Ohio State, a team that battled us pretty hard, and although we did beat them. Then we're home to Iowa, who, by the way, is now a top 30 net ranking team.
Yeah.
Then we go to Oregon. That's not a difficult game. That team sucks, but it's on the road. Then at Washington. So 7 games in the month of February. And if you remember, Justin, 2 years ago, we went on a 5-game losing streak in February, and it was like the downfall of everything. And we were just dying because the February fade, the mid-season slump, it happens. And if you watch Wisconsin basketball, it happens a decent amount. So this is concerning to me looking at the schedule because, as of now, Joe Lunardi on ESPN.com has us as a 10 seed and one of the last
really?
4 teams with a bye, right? So not one of the last 4 teams, but one of the last 4 teams with a bye. And, I mean, I feel like our tournament is hanging in the balance, although despite us being 8-3 in conference and looking fairly good, we had that Michigan win, which is going to carry us into the tournament. I believe that. But if we could really stack up the quad one wins, I mean, starting with next week, the next 5 games are all quad one. That is massive, man. Like, how are you feeling about this schedule?
Yeah, I mean, the team I look at this in general that we can win all these games, we could lose all these games. Like, this team is the most inconsistent. I do think that we are going to get, for the bulk of these games, Wisconsin's best effort. I think somewhat our concerns this season are based off of earlier in the year when the defense wasn't as good as it's been. And yeah. So we're afraid that we're going to have a game where we go out and lay an egg. And to be fair, we did show a little bit of that team against Minnesota. Hopefully that was the wake-up call that's going to keep us dialed in. I also think that these are just much more competitive teams, that the team is going to be locked in simply because they look at it and say, I'm facing a team that's either got a similar record or a better record and is considered very good to better than us, so we have to do it. I also think that some of the teams that we're going to be playing are kind of in the same boat that we are. Indiana is another one of those teams that I look at kind of like Ohio State, where it's like, they're inconsistent. They can play really well one game, and then the next game they kind of lay an egg, kind of like we do at times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt, and I probably feel similarly with Indiana. I think we're more skilled than a lot of the teams we play this year. I don't think we're more athletic than a lot. And I think the balance there comes to, can we, if we come to play a lot of these teams, and it's the same thing like with USC. If we come to play, we shouldn't have a problem with that team. If we don't come to play, their athleticism is going to cause us problems because our defense is lax, and that is going to show up. Like when you play a team that's not going to play hard on defense, it elevates your athleticism.
Yeah, you know, and the way that we started these home games, especially the USC game and the Minnesota game, just pathetic starts. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, I mean, we did have a little bit of a rough start at the Ohio State game before we turned it on. I mean, if that happens on the road, man, if that happens on the road, we're in serious trouble. And you know that every team is now covering Nick Boyd's left, just completely not forcing him to go right. He won't do it. His left hand gets cut off. He doesn't know what to do. That's been sort of like the starting point of all our slumps, is that he's unable to score. Blackwell misses a three, Winter's missing threes, and like all of a sudden we can't score. Now, luckily, we've had some good production at the bench. Braden Carrington, of course, Austin Rapp, who we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But like, it's that I'm very concerned that we could go down big in these games. And at home, you can sort of see your way back in big games that you're down big. On the road,
the crowd
places like Indiana and Illinois, dude. That I mean, listen, Illinois is absolutely loaded.
Illinois has the number one offense in the country, according to Bart Torvik.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you don't come to play to start that game, that's like one of those games where I talked about with Minnesota. If you play that poor for a half against Illinois, there's no coming back in that game, because they're not going to fade as much offensively that you're going to be able to climb back into the game like you could against Minnesota.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of these teams. Like most of these teams, I looked at the ratings on them. There's not really a terrible offense in the group, and most of them are better, as good or better defensively than what we are.
Yeah. And that's really the thing that's it's exciting and also scary is that at this point, anything can happen, right? I mean, my goodness, like Nick Hitchin says, plus side, three consecutive pretty good halves of play. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that is, you erase that first half of that Minnesota game, which was a disaster zone. We have had pretty good. He also says we could win out, we could lose out, depends on which team shows up, crossing fingers. That's the issue. Like, our tournament, everything in this season hangs in the balance. I've been saying this now for a few weeks, and now we're here in February. Like, I mean, you look at that. You lose to Indiana, Illinois, Michigan State, at Ohio State. Those are four games you could absolutely see four L's. And it wouldn't even be that surprising because three of them are on the road, and when the home game is against Michigan State.
Let's go through the games real quick.
Yeah, let's.
And see what our thoughts are on.
Yeah. So Indiana, you're right. Indiana's a team that, by the way, Indiana is the last team in as of today. They are the last team, and they're playing a play-in game. They're an 11 seed, last at large bid. They just beat Purdue at home by like five or something like that. They're athletic, but they're not a great team. They don't have a ton of good wins. They are a team that you should beat, but Assembly Hall is not an easy place to play basketball, man.
I agree with that. This is a game that you have to go into and kind of pounce on them. It would be good for us to capture some of that early season mojo where we had times where we jumped and got up 20 on a team. I do think this is, like, I personally think we win this game, but it wouldn't shock me at all to lose it.
Well, that's the thing, right? If we win this game, great start. If we lose this, then the next game is at Illinois. Sorry, not happening. Like, yeah. Now that's like the Michigan game. We could win because if you can win at Michigan, you can beat any team in the country. Everyone knows that. But it's just not likely. Like, if we played Michigan nine more times, we'd lose all of them, like, at their place. Like, that's a great win. When Alexis Biliauskas makes five threes, now we saw that with Rapp this past weekend.
The whole team shot, like, out of their butts.
Correct. Game. That's not likely going to happen. So Illinois, I feel like you might as well just chalk that up as an L, and it's fine. Then you have a home game against Michigan State. How are you feeling about, like, I mean, it's home, so that's good, but boy, are they talented.
If I'm not mistaken, Torvik has them as the number one defense in the country.
Yeah, and we know that. Tom Izzo has always frustrated the hell out of us because they have the ability to just play such good perimeter defense that you can't even penetrate. You can't get the ball inside the three-point line, let alone get the ball to the hoop. And then you end up forcing up a late shot clock three. We have done that time and time again against Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And listen, it's at home. It's going to be a stripe out, by the way. So that's good. If you're going to that game, that'll be fun. But I mean, it just seems like a very tall order to win that game, especially after coming off the Illinois game.
Well, and so obviously they have the athletic advantage in that game. They are number two, actually. I just checked it quick. And what I will say with this is this has all the earmarks of one of those games where we're getting pushed beyond the three-point line by their defense and extended out and uncomfortable.
That's exactly right.
They're going to have to hit some tough shots, or they're going to need Boyd to get downhill. Now, he's the one guy it's not at an athletic disadvantage, and it may help him to have somebody pressing up on him and trying to keep him getting, like, too close because he gets the opportunity to potentially get downhill. But with the level of defense that they're playing, they're probably going to be really capable at helping, which means whoever that ball gets rotated to has got to do a good job of putting it in the hoop.
And one of the things that I saw at the game this past weekend that drives me crazy, and we talked about it on our post-game reaction, is like the pick and roll offense, which I think will be really effective, especially with teams that have to play. They're playing Boyd the way that they are. They are shutting down his left side as much as they can, which means they're going to switch on all those picks if you screen him to go to the left. The rolls never happen, and they don't happen hard. Two reasons. One, they're not rolling hard. The bigs aren't rolling hard. Number two, the guards aren't passing it to them, so why are they rolling hard? That can be a very effective way to get Nolan Winter the ball with facing the basket. He gets the ball. He attacks the rim. You know what he does when he does that. He scores every single time. But they're not doing that enough, and they're going to need to employ more of that, especially against a team like Michigan State that is going to be playing that. They're pressuring the ball so much that the pick and roll becomes a really effective way to combat that. And if they're not going to switch, well, Boyd, you know where to go. Go get your left-handed layup. Like, that's that he can, because he can athletic, as you said, he can out athlete a lot of these guys. So you got to take advantage of that. My fear is that they're not really taking advantage of that. They're doing what they've always done, settling for the three, which in a great world, if you're shooting well, it's fine. But if you're not, you have some trouble.
And you're going to have they are going to really attack and come out at, you know, they're going to close out hard. I will be shocked if Michigan State doesn't attack the three-point line against us, because I think they know if they take away the three-point line, the game's over.
Yeah.
Like, we're just not going to score enough on the inside to be able to stay in the game.
And you know that's what Tom Izzo is going to do, because that's what Tom Izzo does. Hence, pick and roll. My Lord Lester says, I'm just glad we've done well against the bad Big Ten teams. Now we'll see what the team is made of. Yeah, totally agree. So after Michigan State, we're going on the road again for the third time in four games at Ohio State, a team we just played. Bruce Thornton abused us, you know, as far as his ability to get easy shots. Their big guy, I don't know his name right now, but my gosh, he was dominant. I feel like, again, it's a road game. Like Indiana, if we play Indiana at Ohio State at home, which we just played Indiana, Ohio State at home, we win. But on the road, you gotta get one of those, right? The Indiana, Ohio State, you got to get one of them, because otherwise you're not beating Illinois, you're not beating Michigan State. I mean, do you feel like we can go to Columbus and actually beat this team again that we just beat?
I do. I was not overly impressed with the level of skill on that team. And I don't trust that they can consistently score on us to the level where they can kind of run away.
We have to defend.
I think we have an easier time creating than they do. I do think that athletically, yeah, you can see the athleticism difference. Like, even at the game when we were watching, I'm like, we're more skilled than this team. They're better athletes. But I don't know that they necessarily use it effectively. Like, they had their big effectively stashed out in the corner for most of the game. And it's like, none of your big men can score on the inside. So you're kind of in the same boat that Wisconsin's in. But I think our big men are probably more skilled, because you have Winter, and Rapp is capable of being at least occasionally, you know, consistent outside perimeter shooter. And neither team has an inside guy. And because of that, I feel like you have that advantage. And from the guard position, I just think that Boyd and Blackwell are probably the best backcourt in the conference.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
I'm not going to say they're going to win by a lot. It's probably going to be, if that's a game, I'd probably say it's five or less if they win it. But I think we would beat them again. In all honesty.
If you're in that close of a game though, you've got to hit your shots and you've got to defend well. We defended okay at times in that game. There were some really good defensive positioning plays from Rapp and Winter, who I thought played really well. But then, you know, Billy Oskis and Will Garlock, well, I don't know what he was doing out there defensively. And there were times where I just felt like they were so easy for them to get buckets, which, by the way, is a theme that we've noticed all year. It's just not difficult for people to penetrate and get buckets on it. So we're going to have to do that. Before we move on to that Ohio State game, which we're going to talk about, that's where this is the line in that month, right? So we talked about at Indiana, at Illinois, home against Michigan State, at Ohio State. There's the line here. Now you get the back half of this month where you have Iowa at home. It's a home game. They're a good team. They're ranked higher than us in the net. They're very, very well coached. Very, very lethal team. Then you have at Oregon, at Washington. Again, teams you should absolutely beat, but they're both on the road. So you could definitely see a situation where you end the month 3-0. But also, if you cough up a game here, now what's your February record? And where does that put you in the conference? We're already 8-3. Which is good record so far, but it's just it's a little bit dicey. We're going to get back to our prediction at the end of this. This is not going to be a full hour show, by the way. It's going to be a shorter one, but I want to talk about the Ohio State game a little bit more and the performance, of course, one of Austin Rapp, 19 points in the first half, just an incredible game. You weren't on the reaction show with us. I want to get your take on your overall thoughts on the game and, of course, Austin Rapp.
Sure. Honestly, I felt like we played pretty well once we settled into this game. I was watching throughout the game. The biggest thing that is so obvious when you are there is just how left-hand dominant Boyd is. And some of the angles that you see he traps himself into because of that, where you're like, he's coming downhill and he ends up starting at like the middle of the key and ending up like 4 feet outside of it because he's using his quickness to get around his man. And by the time he gets there, he's taken away the angle where he's got a reasonably good shot to take. That is the negative aspect of this. I was listening to the camp or the swing. and they were talking about, do you think he's a pro? And I'm like, unless he learns how to go right, that he doesn't have a prayer at going to the NBA.
There's no chance.
Like, even the G League, he's going to get abused because they're going to look at him and be like, he can't, like, he's too limited. Like, every game plan is going to start and end with force him left and just put up a wall against him so he can't get anywhere.
I think the reality is we have two guards who want to play in the NBA that I don't think actually will.
I think they're really good college players,
but like
Boyd, with limitations,
right? Boyd obviously with a left hand situation, and Blackwell just can't ever seem to get by anybody anymore. Like he can't beat a guy. He can't just take someone off the dribble. He can put himself in good positions to score and get fouled, and he needs to do more of that. He needs to be more aggressive. Nolan Winter looks like the NBA guy in this entire roster, but I was really pleased with the performance. The defensive effort in the second half was far superior, and I liked that. Austin Rapp, man, my God. Like, those two shots that he took in the previous game were one of two of the ugliest threes I've ever seen in my life. And Nick Hitchens confirmed that there was some – it felt like the students were almost trying to, like, be like – you know, they were almost ready to boo him for doing that stuff. But then he has a game like this, which we've seen – Biliauskas has had this game. Now Rapp's had it. Do you think it actually gives him more confidence to where he can begin to shoot a little better and take more? Do you want him taking more? Like, where are you at on Rapp now? Because let's be honest, a week ago, you and I are both pretty out on Rapp.
I don't want him heat checking, but if he's open, I don't have an issue with him putting up a shot. I think you have to, within the flow of the offense, play that way. But there are definitely times where it's early in the shot clock where I look at it and it's like, keep moving the ball. Like, this is not the time to find out if it's there. Like, this is not a good enough shot when there's 30 seconds left on the shot clock or 28 seconds or whatever it is. If we get to 15, sure, I don't have a problem with you putting up that shot, but work for it. He has a tendency to want to put it up the second he touches it. Like, he gets a little black hole-ish at times on offense. And that is kind of the issue that I have with him. To a degree, Biliauskas, he has some it's just like Rapp, where we saw him take those two horrific shots. He has some of the same thing. There is no finesse in his jump shot at all. It's either pure or it's like a brick being thrown off the backboard. And it's like, yeah. Oh my God. He has, it's funny, you watch him shoot his free throws, and I'm like, I love the form on his free throws. He actually shoots them pretty well. But they're, like, he's so stiff when he shoots that it's like there's just not that smoothness to it when you watch it come off. I think with Rapp, I think you have to hope, if Wisconsin wants to make it to, like, a Sweet 16 run here, he has to be able to not necessarily do what he did against Ohio State. But I think he's a guy you need to get maybe a quick 9 points from, where he hits three threes and you're like, that's a nice bump. He hit a couple of timely shots for us and helped us to separate. So yeah, I think it's there. I think the consistency is the issue there. And the issue with him is he's very polarized. Like, it's either he has a really nice solid game like that, or it's like, you look unplayable.
Consistency is the biggest issue on this entire team. Mm-hmm. And for my issue with Rapp, like we've talked about many times how his defensively he's been an issue, a bit of a liability out there at times. This game, he was not. He played really well. What's the difference? What's the difference? He made shots. He was confident. It's not that he became a better defender overnight. Okay. This is what annoys me about it, because we know that he has that in him. We've seen Biliauskas be really strong defensively. We've seen Winter, I thought, played really well defensively in this game. But if they could just all turn it on together and Rapp could play with the passion that he played with. Listen, he was on a high. Like, he was in the zone. He was like, anyone who's played sports know what's like being in the zone means. Yeah. And when you have that, you feel like you're invincible. Yeah. And he was like that, but he played good defense. He can do it. It's not like he's a bad defender. He just needs to give more effort. And that consistent effort is the way you get through this brutal schedule in February. And if you don't bring that consistency game in and game out, you are going to lose a lot of these games. And we are going to be coming on these shows and on Locked On, and we're going to be pissed off because this team's their record's going to be tanking. And I'm worried about that. But if you take the flashes that you've seen from Winter, from Rapp, from Billy Oskis, these bigs, and you couple that with a little bit better overall consistent play from the guards, you've got a situation. You've got the ability to do some nice things. I will say, I give credit to Billy Oskis, by the way. He was in a boot at the end of that Minnesota game. He played in this game. So good kudos to him, which is fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, big men and ankle injuries are never a good situation.
Speaking from experience, I've had many, many ankle sprains, and it is absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. Mr. October asks a great question here. Rajiv, would you give up your hole-in-one for a trip to the Elite Eight, or would it take a Final Four run, or not even then? I would not give my hole-in-one for the Elite Eight. I would absolutely give it up for a Final Four because I have hope that I can somehow do it again. Maybe not. Probably not.
I think but people I need up, to, yeah.
I would people give up a hole-in-one for the rest of my life if it meant another Final Four run because nothing beats a Final Four.
The level of hot shooting that this team would be required to make in order to make a Final Four would be just insane because defensively, I'm very concerned with their ability to hold down a really good team. We shot out of our minds against Michigan. That's what ended up winning that game. We've seen what happens when we don't shoot well against good teams. We're going to lose by 15 points if it happens.
And that's exactly right. Like, I was at that BYU game with Kevin Brown, who also we got to see this weekend. Great to see him. Good teams, absolutely right, Justin. They're going to crush us unless we shoot 60% from three, which we're not going to do every game. We could do it for a game, right? Yeah. We can do that. So if we play a poor team, which is why this February stuff is really important because the seeding is going to be decided here. We can either be out of the tournament at the end of this month. We can be in the tournament as a 10, which is where we are now. We could be, listen, if we win a couple of these games early and then we win our back three in this month, we could be a 4 seed by the end of the month, 100%. Because at this point now, we get through a week undefeated, we'll be ranked. And that helps all that stuff. It helps that momentum. We can climb those net rankings. We'll get quad one wins coming out of our ears now at this point. So if we can win games, we will climb the seeding very, very quickly. And that's how you can then see a path to what we all want, which is a Sweet 16. We went through that schedule. We talked about, I'll go through one more time, at Indiana, at Illinois, home to Michigan State. At Ohio State, home to Iowa, at Oregon, at Washington. That's our 7 games. How many of those 7 games are we winning, man?
I'm going to say 4.
That is a high number.
I'm going to say we figure out a way to beat Indiana, Ohio State, and probably Washington and Oregon.
Boy, I think the one game that I'm confident about, I have 2 games that I feel like I'm confident in us winning, and it's home to Iowa and at Oregon. Those are the games that I feel like, okay, we can win. At Washington, we should win, but who knows? Those first 4, honestly, man, I really just don't feel like we're going to win those games. I don't. Like, I feel like Indiana, maybe. At Illinois, forget it. Michigan State at home, forget it. At Ohio State, I'm worried about that too. I'm going to say we're going to win 1 of those 4, and we're going to win 2 of those other ones. I'm going to say 3 and 4, which would put us at 11-7 in the Big Ten with 2 to play against Maryland, who's horrible, and we're playing them at home. There's a win. That's 12. And then Purdue on the road. Probably not winning that. So that could be 12-8 by my logic. You have us more closer to 13. Either way, we're getting in the tournament with that record, but it's about how many we can win here. I'm very concerned, and I know everyone's worried about it. I'm worried about it too. The February slide. Dude, if we lose to Indiana, you absolutely could see us losing 4 straight. And if we lose 4 straight and Iowa comes to the Kohl Center and we shoot like we did against USC or Minnesota, I mean, we're out of the tournament at that point. That's how big of a month this is. This is the entire basketball season right now in the next 7 games. I firmly believe that.
What I will say is this team is not a grinding team, which is a plus. They don't need things to go perfectly in order to find a way to win a game. We've talked about it all season long that they can kind of avalanche on teams. And I think that's where you kind of look at this. Like, this is where we talk about it. Like, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest to see them come out against Indiana and drop 45 points in the first half and be like, hey, we're up 15. And that's, you're just like, what the heck? And then the next game you play Illinois and you're down 45-35 or something at the half. Like, okay.
nothing would make me happier than to find a way to win at Illinois and just give it to our boy Sonny.
Yeah, the problem with that one is that you need them to not be like clicking in order to get up enough where you feel confident in that game.
You need them to be horrible.
Yeah. I don't know about horrible, but we need them to, like, we would need to be up, like, I have a hard time seeing us being up 45-35 on them. Like, if they truly are that good offensively, they're going to probably get to 40. And if we're only up 5 at the half, I have a really hard time seeing us holding on to that.
I mean, you could make the argument that Illinois is one of the best team in the country at this point. I mean, you can definitely make an argument that they're the best team in the Big Ten with what they've done, the results they've gotten against great teams. Like, they are playing incredible basketball right now. Rocktober says 20 halves this season with 45 plus points and a half. That's I mean, we did it again. Like,
they set the team record for 90 plus point games.
Massive offensive output. And then yet you still see that first half against Minnesota, which will always just be as perplexing as I've ever seen. 17 points barely. And boy, I mean, oh my gosh, it was just pathetic, man. Absolutely awful. Just, 44 halves, Mr. October corrects himself. Yeah. Anyway, just horrible, though, that first half. But hopefully we see a really strong February, which we're going to talk a lot more about in upcoming shows. We're also going to get back into football and talk more about the portal haul and kind of how this team sort of lays out for the rest of this year. Once again, huge, huge thank you to Honcho, Nick, Tracy for setting everything up. Nick and Tracy, by the way, got me this beautiful little outfit for my new baby coming. So, so, so great. All the people that were out there. I mean, again, I don't even want to name names because I'll forget people, but it was just so many of you. You know who you are. That was so great. And if you missed this one and you couldn't get this meetup, we'll be back for football. Come to the football meetup. It's a lot of fun to get together. And all we do is just talk Badgers. I mean, it's funny. We get to know each other a little bit and then we just all go talk Badgers again, which is fun because that's what this is. And I just want to say, this is the last thing I'll say. It's really great it's hard to like find people. Like when I was growing up, even when I was in school, even when after school, it's hard to have people that understand how much you care about the Badgers, how much it means to you, right?
Their eyes glass over and they're kind of like, that's great.
Right. So like the cool thing about this community is that it's full of those people. So if you're one of those people who loves this team, and likely you are, if you listen to this show, which we appreciate, it's really great to just be surrounded by those people. And that's one of the reasons that I got into the like listening to the podcast and getting on it, because like I can like Justin and Ryan understand what I'm going through, and all the people, Nick and Honcho and Kevin and the names go on, and Zach and Rob and everybody, like they understand because they feel the same way that we do about this team and how much it matters. And that's really special. It's really a great thing about this community that's been built, that Ryan started and we've helped build too. It's just great. And so thank you again for all those that came out. Any last thoughts on that or anything else, Justin?
I mean, I saw somebody throw up here that I picked 4 games of road games for the Badgers to win on this.
You did.
It's like, I just think that this is an oddball season, and it's really hard for me to bet against the Badgers with some of the way of, like, if I'm going to choose games, I'm going to look at teams that are inconsistent that they're going to be playing against, because we seem to have a habit of exploiting that to a degree. I feel far less confident in our ability to exploit teams like Michigan State, Illinois. And honestly, having watched a little bit of Iowa, they scare me a little bit now that Fran's gone. You could always chalk it up that they would just kind of
implode.
Yes, implode, because he would lose his mind. And like his team never got as frazzled as he did. Like, he just lost the ability to coach coherently when things started going sideways. And I legitimately feel like it's not a matter of where the games are played against those 4 teams. Like, I don't know how much that matters with this Wisconsin team. I do think they can score anywhere. They'll definitely benefit. Like, they can't get away with playing poorly for a half. So they have to come to play in all these games. They do have the benefit of probably needing these games to force their way into the tournament, which I think will help them. So I think for the most part, it's not like Minnesota, where, and even Minnesota, they probably shouldn't have taken as lightly as they did. I think they saw that the best scorer for the team was out and kind of tried to mail it in, figuring they'd walk through it. Well, you're not going to be dealing with any of that against any of these other teams. So
fair point.
Hopefully that keeps you locked in.
That's fair point. That's fair point. We'll be back.
I think again. They like playing the villain.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be back again next weekend. If you are a audio listener already, you've already seen the Reggie's Corner episodes. If you are not, if you are also on YouTube, go check out the podcast only versions of that. I record that in the middle of the week, about 20, 25 minutes, just random things, random thoughts that I talk about. We'll be back again next weekend. Touch on football again. Of course, we'll keep going on basketball. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.